Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. We present to you a very special program, The Lunchtime Doctor, with our resident doctor, Dr. Safia Mohammed. Our program is broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5, as well as sister stations, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe CT 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. During the course of the program, Dr. Mohammed will be fielding your medical questions and your concerns. So keep our contact numbers handy, 627-3223, 625-2257 for your calls. And you can also send us your questions via text message on WhatsApp 306-1065. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. How are you?
Good afternoon, Govind, and good afternoon to all those locked in to your Lunchtime Doctor. I'm actually live in studio, so we do not foresee any sort of technical glitches. We're here to answer your questions. Let's make sure we get to the bottom of those medical challenges. Let's see how we can dissect them. Let's make sure that we help you lead that happier, healthier lifestyle. We're going to talk a little bit today on what's in our Guardian Health Plus. So for those who purchased your Guardian, make sure you can check in with your Guardian Health Plus, and if there are any questions, let us know. And as you would see in your Guardian Health Plus, we talked about foods that can indeed strengthen your immune system. So we want to know what foods are on your lunchtime plate. Let us know what health habit you have learned from this program and how are you helping to save a life. Yours today.
And straight away, we've got calls coming in. Let's see who's on the line with us. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon to the panel. Two questions I want to ask the doctor. One, I'm a diabetic. What is the best time to take my Dermicron, if it's first thing in the morning or after food? Secondly, I want to find out if marijuana smoke is dangerous to health. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. So when it comes to taking your medication, especially the Dermicron, you want to have your meal and then take the medication about 10 to 15 minutes right after. Sometimes persons make the error, especially those who may be on insulin. They may take their insulin and then eat. Or they may take the insulin and forget to go and have that proper meal, and then they feel the effects of hypoglycemia. So you can take the medications just around the same time you're eating, but within the time frame of your breakfast, that works well. That's not necessarily a hard and fast rule. It's what we find works best with our patients. Now, when it comes to that marijuana smoke, there's still a lot of debate around it. There isn't enough research to really support the harmful hazardous effects. Yes, we know any sort of smoke, any sort of environmental stressor will affect our respiratory system, be it marijuana smoke, be it smoke from debris, be it cigarette smoke. So yes, on the whole, it will have some sort of effect, damaging effect when it comes to the respiratory system, but definitely a little more research is needed when it comes to specifically the marijuana smoke.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. Let's take another call. Hello, good. Okay, we lost that one there. Do try us back. 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065. Those are the avenues that you could call our lunchtime doctor, Dr. Mohammed, and get your questions answered. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am a female, 85 years, and I catch cramp in my foot and the calf. Can I get any help, please? Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. I feel the pain that you're experiencing. And when it comes to the cramping in the legs, that's something we see with a lot of our patients. So here's what I'll suggest. First and foremost, we want to make sure that you're not diabetic. We want to make sure we can rule out, because most of our diabetic patients do experience that lower leg cramps. What we also want to check in on is what's your physical mobility. We do know as we age, we tend to be a little bit less active, and that reduced activity tends to worsen that cramping, that tingling sensation, because it reduces the circulation. Some of our patients experience something called peripheral neuropathy as a complication of either diabetes or hypertension. So we also want to make sure your blood pressures are in check. So that's just a few of the things. Once we could figure out what the triggers are, what the causes, then I'm certain you will have reduced cramps in your legs.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. This is the Lunchtime Doctor, and our program is streaming live on Freedom 106.5. Also heard simultaneously, Sangeet 106.1, Vibe CT 105, and Sky 99.5 FM. During the course of the program, Dr. Mohammed will also present to you eye care tips, some heart care tips, and a wellness feature, as well as our baby feature. For now, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, this is Dr.
Yes, definitely. Welcome. You're live on air.
Hi, good day. I would like to ask a question. My husband is in his late 70s. He attends the Arena Lifestyle Clinic. But of late, his 2 feet, they infect, they keep swelling most, I must say, like daily. He attends doctor, but we haven't got any to say that we feel sure we get the answer that what should be going on, what it is, what causing it.
All right, hold on the line. Can you hold on the line? We may have lost her. But if she, I'm glad you called in. If he's attending clinic, then it may be for some comorbidity. It may be those two that we talk about a lot, diabetes and hypertension. As we age, however, if there isn't good control, that tight control of the diabetes, one may experience something called that diabetic neuropathy, where there's that loss of sensation, there's even peripheral claudication. That reduces the circulation throughout the lower limbs and causes the swelling or pooling of fluid around the ankles. It's quite common. We see it in a lot of our patients. It may even happen also, especially with our hypertensive patients, if there's any associated heart failure. So if there's a left-sided heart failure, we're going to see that swelling of the ankles, because the fluid, the normal circulation, is not being able to pump back up to the heart. What I'm going to suggest to you is make sure when he goes to the clinic, many times because there's so many patients in the clinic that the doctors may not see every single symptom or concern, note it down. Make sure the doctors see his ankles. Make sure you also walk with the medication. They may need to adjust the medications. They may need to put him on a diuretic. That helps reduce the amount of water or improves the circulation. And most importantly, I want you to pay particular attention to what foods he's eating, reduce the cholesterol, reduce the saturated fats. And if he can get, say, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes exercise every day, some walking, even a little bit of higher strength exercise, a little bit moderate, where there is that increased movement, that will help improve the circulation. There's several things you can do. Start from today, and I assure you, 1 month from now, you're going to be calling me and telling me he's having improvement.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed, and Okola, for your question. We'll be right back with more calls and your messages on the Lunchtime Doctor right here with Dr. Safia Mohammed. And also, when we come back, we'll take a look at our very first feature, our eye care tip, right here on the Lunchtime Doctor program. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we're back with the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Safia Mohammed, our program live on Freedom 106.5, Sangeet 106.1, Vibe CT 105, and Sky 99.5. So we got a photo coming in from one of our international listeners, Dr. Mohammed. Lunch today, wild blueberries. Okay, interesting.
Well done. Those blueberries have great antioxidants. So you're also helping strengthen your immune system. Good nutrition.
Another message. Hi, doctor. I had a baby 3 weeks ago, and for the past 2 weeks, I've been having severe back pain on my lower right side. Is this normal? I also experienced what feels like a spasm in my entire back and neck.
So, yes, post-baby. Now, most persons are familiar with the first, second, and third trimester. There's something called the fourth trimester, where moms need that time to heal. But it's kind of difficult because now you have a new baby to manage. Here's what happens, especially with moms, in the bending over, in trying to lift baby. Those muscles at the back there, your lower thorax, tends to be weakened. And now that constant bending over, you're putting more strain. So let's look at, see, if baby's in a crib, because now you're bending in that way. And of course, you may be holding the tummy in a certain way because you want to give that tummy the support. So that's where the back gets a whole lot more extra strain. What I suggest to you, you know, back in the days we had the doulas, where we had the midwives that would come and do those massages. You certainly need some level of NSAIDs, that is, some medications that can help ease the pain, but of course safe with baby feeding, with breastfeeding, and of course any sort of exercise, a few easy stretches. If you were to just stand straight and just do tilts to the left, tilts to the side, tilts to the back, and then tilts forward. So it's as if you're touching your toes or you're bending backwards. And just a few minutes of stretching those muscles and having deep breaths will help ease that pain, I assure you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. Hello, good afternoon.
Doc, what's up? Labor man here. Doc, my uncle went on HbA1c yesterday. It reached 5.5. Could you explain, Dr. Mohammed?
Well done. So, of course, we know who our label man is. He likes to encourage us to look at the nutritional labels. And 5.5, that HbA1c, that particular marker is what we recommend all our patients, especially those who are diabetic, to make sure they get checked out. What's normal is anything under your 6.5%. So yes, 5.5, well on the mark. Anything over the 6.5 is when I start to become a little worried. So I hope your uncle keeps doing what he's doing.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, doctor. Whenever I take my high blood pressure tablet, the heart rate, the pressure will drop to normal, but the heart rate increases. And what happens when the heart rate increases is that I cannot sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep for the whole night.
Thank you so much for sharing. Now, I'm not too sure which one of the medications you're taking.
Enalapril.
Which one? Can you repeat?
Enalapril.
Enalapril. Right. So enalapril typically won't send up your heart rate. Enalapril does cause a little bit of a cough. I'm not too sure if that's probably one of the side effects that you're experiencing. However, what I would suggest to you is the very next time you do go to your clinic, just let them know. So note what you can have a little journal at home. Note what the heart rate is. If it's over 75, 80, that's when I become a little concerned. What you can also do is, of course, just ensure before you go to sleep a few sleep hygiene methods that will help you bring back down that level of calm and bring down the heart rate. Breathing is one of the most powerful exercises. So please, don't stop taking those medications, because the blood pressure will certainly continue to go up. We can always add an additional medication to also address the increasing heart rate. That may not be because of your enalapril. It may just be the effects or the complications of hypertension on the body. Hope that answers your question. Keep it in mind. Note your heart rates in some book, in some journal, so the next time you see your healthcare professional, they can see the chart, they can see the values, and they may need to add one more layer of medication.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohammed. And for those just joining us, this is The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Safia Mohammed. You could give us your calls on 627-323-625-2257 for your medical questions. Dr. Mohammed is ready and available to give you some information on those. We've got a message on WhatsApp 306-1065. Radiation treatment was recommended for a cancer patient, but the doctors indicated that the equipment is not working. They identified the hospital, but I'll stay away from it. But what other options could be available for this patient in the absence of you know, radiation treatment available here.
Thank you so much for messaging in. I feel that concern when it comes to your family, any sort of cancer treatment, especially the radiation treatment. Yes, we know the ill-resourced hospitals that we have at times, especially how frustrating it can be when certain very important pieces of equipment are not functioning. Now, you sent in the hospital. I will do a personal follow-up on that hospital in terms of the pieces of equipment and when it will become functional. Unfortunately, the outside of public health, then there's private health. That does come at a cost, however. I would suggest have that conversation with the oncologist. Most times they put additional support into play. I remember, honestly, with my mom's sister, she had breast cancer, and there was a time when the entire radiation treatment center was down, and we unfortunately had to go outside with the private health. And yes, it cost a penny or two, but it at least continued her treatment. So have the conversation with the oncologist. Most times they want to do what's best for the patient, so they will try their best to source additional treatment.
Thank you so much for that, doctor. We've got another. Good day, doctor. I am listening in from Toronto. I am 74 years old and in a happy relationship. Sometimes when having intercourse, it becomes very painful. However, the process is quite gentle. I'm not sure if it's something that's happening with me now that could be contributing towards this.
Thank you so much for messaging in, and especially this particular topic that can be so sensitive. Now, while it's sensitive, many persons do experience it. That painful intercourse, there's a medical terminology for it. It's called dyspareunia, and it can be that persistent or recurrent pain that one may experience during or even after intercourse. It's crucially important that you have the conversation with the gynecologist. There's several reasons, and we need to do, obviously, an investigation. It may be that there may be minor tears. It may be dryness of the area. It may even be during the time there may be pains within the muscular structure. So there may be any sort of fibroid within the endometrium that's elucidating that pain, and that pain can present for quite some time. So there are quite a few things that can be the cause of that pain. The most important one is that dryness or not enough lubrication. There are a host of pharmaceutical products that can support that. Depending on one's age, the estrogen levels also drop, especially in the perimenopause and menopausal time, and that also leads to that painful intercourse. So there's a host of things. I don't want you to feel like you're alone in this concern. Many, many women experience pain on intercourse. However, because it's so common, there's so many treatments out there, from hormonal treatment to different lubrications, different medications. Have the conversation with your gynecologist, and I assure you, you will get that relief.
Thank you, Dr. Muhammad. Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you, Doctor, what can be done to maintain proper kidney function?
Thank you. So, good question. Let's talk about what causes kidney damage. One of the biggest complications that lead to kidney damage is diabetes and high blood pressure. So if we want our kidneys to function well, let's do our best to prevent that diabetes. Manage it if you are diagnosed. Manage your blood pressure. I have seen, Govind, too many patients result with kidney failure, and they then need dialysis. Sometimes twice a week, three times a week. Their life depends on dialysis. Their quality of life is compromised, and that's all because of complications of diabetes or complications of high blood pressure. So anyone who's diagnosed with this, that's why we keep drilling it in.
And all these could be
preventable. Completely. Right. When we talk about non-communicable diseases, they are all preventable, even if you have a family history of it. So let me give you a classic example. My mother had a heart attack. I know I'm 50% at risk for cardiovascular disease. But guess what? Both my mother and father are diabetic, which means I have a 75% risk of getting diabetes. I, at this age, have not been diagnosed, knock on every piece of wood, and I will want to continue that even as I age. How do I manage it? I know my risk. I know my family history, so I know where am I positioned. Two, I pay special attention. Everything that I tell you, I have to take my own advice, and we know doctors don't take our advice, right? But I have to, because I certainly don't want those complications. That chronic renal failure, that need for dialysis, is one of those complications. And as the caller asked about maintaining proper kidney function, let's reduce the causes that can lead to kidney damage.
Excellently said, Dr. Mohammed. So, of course, for our listeners, this is the Lunchtime Doctor program on Freedom 106.5, also streaming simultaneously on Singeet 106.1, Vibe CT 105, and Sky 99.5 FM. We'll continue in a short while after these messages.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
All right, your lunchtime doctor. Yes, base is in. Thank you, Govin, for sitting in for me for a little bit. Had a little bit of plumbing issue to deal with. And as we're talking about plumbing, Dr. Mohammed, you know, I've always heard medical professionals refer to the body of like a plumbing system. And if you don't take care of it, you know, things will burst and you have to change valves and that kind of thing. So that's exactly what kind of happened.
But that's exactly what does happen. And it's a good analogy for us to think of the heart and think of the arteries and the veins. Mm-hmm. Within the veins, there are a host of valves.
Yeah.
And that's where there's that cholesterol that deposits.
Right.
If those things are not well maintained, mm-hmm. just like the engine of a car.
Yeah. Right? You know, there are some people who take better care of their cars than they take care of their own body.
But that's everyone in Trinidad and Tobago, don't you know? And that's the thing, right? Mm. You know, as you say that, everyone who's tuned in today, when that red light in your car goes off, what do you do? Do you say, I could deal with it next week?
Well, you're going one time, you're calling the mechanic, one time you're pulling up, one time you're spending, ready to spend that money, whatever it costs, one time.
Well, I want you all to think about that chest pain, that pain in your foot. Those are red flags.
Yeah.
It's just we don't have a buzzer going off in or glaring us.
Yeah.
However, Trinidadians, Tobagonians, they like to wait.
Men especially.
And wait.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our male folks especially.
Yeah.
You know, back when we in the clinic time, we see, as when it comes to our diabetic patients, when that thing called foot care, they have a damaged toe. They wait until the wound becomes almost gangrenous.
Yeah.
And then they come to the health center.
And it's too late.
Too late. And that's why here on Lunchtime Doctor, we give you all the advice to prevent it.
Yeah.
I used to work in an ICU and I swear I made that promise that I would not want to see another patient be admitted. Another patient, unfortunately, may have, in terms of having an amputation or any sort of that. And as Govin asked earlier, most of these diseases, he asks, are they preventable?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. You know?
Yeah. So I'm sure that this show is kind of like such a support system, because I'm sure somebody's telling us, but now you hear what the doctor say? Somebody telling us, you hear what the doctor say? You hear what the doctor say? And you're all right, you know?
I get a lot of that when I go out into public, right? Especially my women, my female patients.
Yeah.
They say, Doc, I let my husband listen to your program all the time.
That's right.
Another thing that our male patients experience is way too much probophobia. They're afraid of the probe.
Yeah.
And early on today, in Morning Brew, Dr. Santi LeBlanc talked about colorectal cancer, a very common cancer in Trinidad and Tobago, especially our male. And yes, females can experience colorectal, but we need to be able to screen and we need to be able to prevent. One of those exams is indeed the prostate exam.
Oh,
so to our male patients, call us. Let us know. Let me know what the fear is.
You know,
let's see how we can debunk them.
Men are afraid of that. And there are new ways to do the prostate exam instead of the old-fashioned ways, guys. You know, even though they say the old-fashioned way is the best way. Right?
But we certainly can still do those new methodologies.
All right, so let's go back to the phone lines. 627-3223, 625-2257. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. Hello?
Yes, Doctor. Try again. Doctor, what are the symptoms of an imminent heart attack? What are the symptoms of an imminent heart attack.
Just like we were talking about the plumbing, when one is experiencing a heart attack, in the moment itself, they will feel that crushing pain on the left-sided chest. They may feel the pain radiate up to the jaw. They may feel it going to the left arm. They may even feel the pain radiating to the back. Sometimes they may feel nothing whatsoever. So I want everyone to know there is such a thing as a silent heart attack. Did you know that? That you can have a heart attack and not even know you've had a heart attack.
And there are a lot of young people, especially experiencing heart attacks these days.
Young persons.
I know every time you feel a pain in Trinidad, it's a gas pain, you know?
And it certainly isn't. Yeah. How do you know? If you also say you're not having any symptoms, but then the day after you find that you may feel weakened, you may have some shortness of breath, your usual, if you're walking up a stairs, it's not the same endurance that you would have, get it checked. Anytime you see a change in your usual quality of life, get it checked out.
Yeah, we have a question here from Sangeeta, as a matter of fact, about a chest pain. Hi, good day, doctor. Sometimes I get a little pain on the left of my chest. Comes and goes. Sometimes when I take a deep breath, I feel a sharp pain. Resting heart rate is 90. What could it be?
So, as I just mentioned, any pain in the chest, and that resting heart rate of 90 is a little more elevated, so that's considered tachycardia than we would want it to be. We definitely would need you to do something called the ECG, the electrocardiogram. Let's get your normal rate. Let's get what is the normal electrical cardiac ability of the heart, and let's just ensure that that chest pain is not related to any sort of blockage or occlusion.
All right. Lunchtime, Doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257. And, of course, your messages at 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon.
Doctor, I've called before about the increase, the lower pressure, and then the heart rate increases. But what happens in the mornings when I get up, the pressure will be very high, and the heart rate will be very low, like 55, so...
Okay, thank you so much for letting us know. That heart rate of 65 is not very low. That's consistently okay. The high blood pressure, that is the one I'm concerned about. What, again, just as I mentioned, probably there needs to be some sort of switching or rechecking of your medications as one ages, as the body changes the metabolism structure. The medications may need to be tweaked or adjusted. A high blood pressure in the morning, that certainly needs either an increased medication at the nighttime or some sort of adjustment, be it in the activity of the day, what you're eating, or even some sort of physical exercise. So definitely have that conversation with your healthcare professional next time you go into clinic.
All right, folks, once again, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and of course Vibe City 105 FM. Another question here. Hi, is there a best time one should take insulin? What is your opinion for taking it at nighttime? Avid listener from New York City. Hi, New York.
Thank you so much, New York. So today we've had callers from Toronto, callers from New York. Best time to take the insulin is right with your food. If you're taking it in the morning, no problem. Have your meal and take your insulin. Or if you're taking it in the night, have your meal and take your insulin. I tend to suggest to my patients, take it in the nighttime, because during the course of the day, sometimes one may experience the hypoglycemic effect of the insulin. But if you're on insulin twice a day, then ensure you're taking it both morning and nighttime.
Right.
Adjust with how your body feels. That is key.
All right, let's take a call here. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Bates. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Yeah, man.
I'm 63. We're not 64. I suffer with pain on my hips and knees and so on. The doctor says it's the only thing for that at that stage is hip replacement. But the pain is taking care of things like the what you call NSAID.
Right.
But, yeah, what I want to find out, it helps, but I just want to find out what is the danger in taking these things like Geodol P and all them things, like if it could damage your organs. Or, I think half a day, half of one of those syrup, it works all right.
Fantastic. Kind of, now, so, yes, every single possible medication has a side effect. So what I would suggest, particularly with the NSAIDs, you want to ensure you're taking the enteric coated ones, the previous type NSAIDs, so that's the older medication. They may have had an increased effect on the gastric lining, on your esophageal lining, and they would have predisposed it to ulcers or tears or easier bleeding. The enteric coated is a much easier on the gastroenteric lining.
I don't know which one to use, let me see. I'll listen up there if you could call one. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. I can't necessarily give a name to it. When you have the conversation with your healthcare professional, just make sure you ask them or you let them know that you also have this, if you have the side effects of the reflux, and for them to recommend the enteric coated medications.
Let's take another call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon, listeners. I have a friend who is 74 years old, and he suffered a heart attack. He's on LASIK now, but he is very weak. His body is weak. He can't do anything. If he walks too fast, he gets winded. But the heart has been damaged. But what can he do to help give his body that energy?
Right. I'm so sorry he's experiencing that. I do hope he's on one or two more medications in addition to that LASIX, because the LASIX is not the only medication after having a heart attack. The body experiences a fair amount of that pain, that post-heart attack. So you will take a little bit of a time for recovery. Some persons describe, even though they feel the pain in the chest, they describe it as a truck just hit them. So there is that time needed for muscular regeneration and muscular rehabilitation. The conversation definitely must be had with the cardiologist. Let them know that he's feeling this level of fatigue. It may also be a left-sided heart failure that he's also experiencing that's leading to this level of fatigue, and he may need one or two more medication, just a few more layers, to be able to give that strengthening approach.
All right, once again, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Let's get another question on our WhatsApp. If you do a full blood works at the health center, do you get a copy of the results for your own benefit?
Great question. That one, when it comes to your own copy of the blood results, unfortunately, it stays in your file. I would suggest to you, when they give you the results, just have the conversation, ask the doctor. And as the doctor giving you the results, you can take a message, you can write down, you can store it on your phone. But because it's at the blood center, they typically won't hand you that result. It stays in your file.
Nice. I have a personal question, doctor. Of course, you see I drink a lot of water, right?
Yes.
But I'm told that cold water is not the best to drink, right? Room temperature water. You know, but sometimes you're walking in the sun, it's so hot, you want that cold water. But what is best, really, for the body?
Now, let's look at it. Yes, the cold water is rehydrating. However, the gut, and think of the gut like a caterpillar within your body, those muscles, or the smooth muscles, they tend to work best with the lukewarm water, right? So that is the temperature that's consistent with the gut. However, the hydrating feeling, the rejuvenating feeling comes with the cooler temperature. There isn't harm with cold water, so you're not doing your body any injustice. However, first thing in the morning, rather than shocking the gut with the cold water, that's when you can put in the lukewarm water.
Right, beautiful there. 627-3223-625-2257, Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Pleasant afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Doc, I will find out one question, please.
Oh, certainly. You're live on air.
Right. I'm experiencing a pain like to the right side of my upper back. Right? All right, so the upper back, just around on the bone there, around that area. A little more in. However, I'm experiencing that pain for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I had it last month. I went and do an ultrasound, and the lady told me she has not seen any mass or anything, no, they have no swelling. However, she told me it's probably be muscular or nerve.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Right. So thank you, sir, for taking the step forward and doing the ultrasound. At least we've ruled out the sinister causes as the mass. Now, the sonographer was quite correct. It could be musculoskeletal in nature. And here's the thing. Sometimes just daily activities, the way we sit when we're driving, sometimes if we're holding our, say, handbags or shoulder bags, even the grocery bags, on the right side, we put more pressure on the right side than the left side. All of those strains, all those ergonomic strains can worsen that pain because it sounds like a low-level pain that has been there for quite some time. What I would want you to look at is look at your daily activities, what could be that possible triggers, and you certainly can do a level of physiotherapy exercises on that left shoulder. It may even be a previous injury from quite some time. May have been some level of trauma. Sometimes even the way we sleep, the way we're sitting when we're at our laptops, all of that could trigger, especially as we age and there are different metabolic changes within the body. So my answer to you is just make sure, in addition to the ultrasound, you then seek some further therapy, either physiotherapy or some sort of exercise, some stretching, to ensure that you give the muscles that rejuvenation.
All right, wonderful. All right, doctor, I just wanted to know if quick oats with honey, almond and raisins, is good for me before my cholesterol level is 269.
So 269, red flag galore. So some of the things that you mentioned there, the quicker oats, honey, cranberries, I'd lean towards the, what's that?
Almond and raisins.
Almonds and raisins, yeah. Right. I'll lean towards more the almonds. I'll lean towards not so much the raisins, the cranberries, sure. But you see, the quicker oats can be, or sometimes it can be a little bit of a myth because you need to check which one of the products it is. There's some quick, as in the instant quicker oats, that is packed with sugars. And we want to stay away from that. For the cholesterol reducing, I'd suggest go with your green leafy vegetables. Go with some of your fruits and vegetables that are not just your green leafy, things like your cauliflower, your melongene, pumpkin. All of that is much better when it comes to fiber and HDL, which is your better cholesterol. Now, you see that thing called quicker oats? It's a high amount of carbohydrates in it. So I encourage you, turn to the back, look at your nutrition facts, and from there you can make a better analysis on what's good for you.
Yeah, check the labels. And you know, sometimes we think we're eating, you know, all these healthy stuff, but when you read up on them, it's really, you know, loaded with sugar.
Loaded.
Yeah. How many calories? I mean, I know it will depend on the person,
right?
The body, the age, type, whatever, yes, diet, but how many calories should one intake per day?
We look at 1,200 calories a day, okay, right? However, based on your usual caloric demands. So a pregnant patient may need 1,500 calories per day. Someone who is dieting or trying to lose weight, we bring it down. And that's how you check your amount of calories, input and output. So I'd bring down my calorie input to about 1,100 or 1,000 to be able to try to lose weight. So 1,200 is the number we look at. As you age, there may be different values. And of course, if there are any additional comorbidities.
Beautiful. Lunchtime, doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, we're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangate 106.1, and Vibe City 105. Feel free to message our other stations via WhatsApp, and they will forward those messages to us. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Bass.
Yeah, man.
Good day. It's the doctor, good day. Doctor, I want to know, what is a good tablet to take to lower your cholesterol?
Good question. Now, the ones that we use across the board is something called your statins. I'm not going to give the trademark name, but those are your typical cholesterol-lowering medications. There are quite a few out there. Start with the first line. Your healthcare professional will definitely prescribe that for you. I'm glad you're interested in making sure you're taking care of your health. Let's also not just take medication, let's look at what are the nutritional factors we're putting into our body.
All right, a question here. Good afternoon, doctor. I had a bout of vertigo about a year ago, and although I am now much better, I still get a sensation of being unbalanced ever so often. Mm-hmm. I exercise regularly and monitor my blood pressure daily. What can be the cause of this?
Now, the thing with vertigo, that sensation where you're feeling like you're spinning, that actually can be ENT based, ear, nose and throat based, because the fluid that maintains the balance is within the ear canal. So if there's any sort of middle ear infection, you may still have vertigo. If there's any thyroid problem, you can also be experiencing vertigo. There's several things that can lead to that causation of vertigo. We want to make sure as well that some of the medications that you're on, because most of the medications, some of the side effect of it is indeed vertigo. So it's a whole, it's a multidisciplinary approach when we're looking at what is the causes of it. You know, even headaches, migraines can cause vertigo. What I would suggest to you is ensure you can figure out, or at least try to narrow down, what the trigger is. When does the that sensation comes on? If any activity is just before, and of course, note it down, get that healthcare professional input.
All right, I got a question. Can you please explain? All right, was diagnosed with a meningothelial. Wow. Wow, this is a big one. All right, who, meningothelial, meningomia, right? Yeah. Who, good, who's GD1 with a Ki-67.
Right.
Proliferation index of 10%. The tumor now extends posteriorly to contact the basilar artery, as well as superiorly to invade the right caudate nucleus. Wow, I felt like a doctor reading that.
So the caudate nucleus.
Caudate nucleus, yes.
And what the person is describing there is a meningioma, specifically in the, and he pronounced it very well, well done, Base, in the meningothelial area. Right? Any sort of meningioma is one that we're very, very concerned about because of where it can invade. And the patient gave the full detail of exactly where it's invading. I do hope you have your oncology team. I'm pretty certain you do, in terms of the direct treatment, targeted treatment that this meningioma would be needed. A meningioma, to all those who are listening, is actually a benign, slow-growing neoplasm, or benign, slow-growing cancer. The tumor does indeed, now the person gave the grade, there's several grades of it. In this case, it has invaded, he mentioned the caudate nucleus, that's part of the brain, it's part of the central nervous system. So you unfortunately may be experiencing symptoms that are consistent with nervous system damage. Again, I do hope your oncology team is there to explain things with you and of course guide that necessary treatment.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the doctor. I'd like to know if there's any difference between drinking the water at standing up or sitting down.
Good question. Not as far as I'm aware when it comes to drinking water. If you want to be standing up or sitting down, I'm happy that you are indeed ensuring your hydration. What I would say, however, there is the association of too much sitting. That sedentary lifestyle, that's something we need to watch. But if you're having your water, not a problem. Drink the water.
All right. Let's get this question. This question came from Sky. My breast has increased and rapidly in pains on the side, and my upper body is more bigger. Fibroids really large. Could this be the side effects? I'm so unhappy. Pains in my breast. Also vein issues.
I'm so sorry you're going through that much pain. Yes, fibroids can impact upon the pain of your entire body. And when it comes to the changes in the hormones, it will also impact upon changes in the breast tissue and the pain that you're experiencing. However, I don't want you to feel without hope. We can treat those fibroids. There are a host of hormonal treatments. There's also, last case, surgical excision of the fibroid, and of course any sort of pain relief to remove or reduce that pain that you're experiencing. Please, I want to encourage you, don't give up hope. Do go to your healthcare professional. If it's one thing in Trinidad and Tobago, our women's directorate or women's health is well supported in all of the health centers. Present to any health center and I'm certain you will be on your way to recovery.
All right, we just have about 6 more minutes to go. Let's get some questions in. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello and good afternoon. Continue doing a good job, Doc. What I would like to know, pinch nerve in your foot or your back, will it disrupt your blood flow to your brain?
Thank you so much. So no, the pinched nerve will not disrupt blood flow. The pinched nerve is within the central nervous system and has definitely just the nervous tissue connection throughout the whole body. What is a pinched nerve? Is when there's some sort of compression by the bony structure within the spinal cord. Now, if that same bony compression is also compressing a venous structure or an arterial structure, that's what's going to affect the blood flow, not the pinched nerve, the process by which the nerve is pinched. I hope that answers the question.
All right, 627-3223-625-2257. Let's get one more here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can be done for painful heel with spikes like that? Heel area with pain. Like a spiky feeling on the heel.
Right. Yeah. So I think what you're most likely talking about is spurs. Persons experience a lot of calcaneal spurs or something called plantar fasciitis that you feel within the heel where there's a lot of pain, and you may also feel, as you described, that tenderness, that tingling there. Most importantly, you need to either see a podiatrist or some sort of healthcare professional, because there are medications that we can put. We can also apply the different physiotherapy, the exercises, and even you can start right at home. Lack of proper moisturization, lack of proper foot care can lead to that thickening of the heel, and that will further exacerbate the calcaneal spurs. You know, we had a whole program on foot care, and those who are post-carnival, they're still experiencing some pain. Make sure you get your exercises of your ankle in. So to the caller, just please book an appointment with any podiatrist. They'll certainly prescribe those medications, their treatments for that pain in particular.
And since we have just about 3 more minutes, let's discuss what's in our Health Plus. We're talking boosting your immune system. Very, very always important. And really, this really came up, especially more important with the COVID.
That's
some
right.
People were so concerned about, you know,
and you know,
immune system.
We're seeing a lot, and we're seeing the numbers going back up. We're seeing post-carnival a lot of different viruses.
Yeah.
Persons are not sure, are they experiencing the virus? Is it COVID? Is it the flu? Is it the Sahara dust? Here's how you can differentiate. If you're having just upper respiratory symptom, as in just the nasal congestion, mm-hmm. without the fever, mm-hmm. without the body pain, then most likely it's an allergy.
Yeah.
Most likely it's your seasonal allergy or the Sahara dust. But if you're having that body pain, the fever, then chances are it's possibly COVID you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
What we're also seeing is that these home care tests are not as sensitive. Remember, we're into whichever variant now, Omicron B.1, this, that, the other. So the home kit tests that were done and created for the ones before are not as sensitive now.
Yeah.
Please use your PCR. In our Guardian Health Plus, we talked about strengthening your immune system. You can start easily at home, the same methods we talked about. Exercise, mm-hmm. proper eating. Just from what you eat, you can get your dose of zinc, iron, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin B6. Proper nutrition. Sleep is crucially important when it comes to improving and strengthening that immune system, keeping physically active, most importantly, managing our stress levels. You know, we talk about this all the time.
Stress, right?
Minimizing your stress, managing the fears. Train your mind to remain calm despite the chaos. So when, especially right now, if you all are driving and there's traffic on the road, balance out. Exhale.
Me this morning with my little plumbing situation. But I know, doctor, a lot of people take multivitamins, right? All these vitamins that you say might have vitamin A, B separate.
Yes.
But is it recommended? Do you take those vitamins or you recommend the natural way to eat?
So here's what we look at it. If you're able to just eat normally, you're going to get all the micronutrients you need. However, there is that section of the population that may be immunocompromised, those with autoimmune diseases, those who are aged and they may not have the proper appetite. So that's where, no problem. You can support with a few micronutrients, especially if you are in a state of a compromised immune system. So when you do feel like you're having the cold, certainly top up on those nutrients. And the vitamin C in particular, your zinc in particular, great anti-inflammatories.
What about those are like redoxon things, those things you put in the water?
Well, but I would want to suggest that you don't go over your recommended dosage.
Right.
No need to cross that. Just continue with what's recommended.
Okay.
And very important thing that we put into that article today is one that persons often say, it's a big myth that they talk about. You hear this often. Feed a cold, starve a fever. You've heard that one before?
Feed a cold. No, first time I'm
hearing. You know, that's from the old age adage. Feed a cold, starve a fever. That's a myth. Myth. If one is feeling a fever or you have symptoms of a cold, you do not need to further compromise the immune system. In fact, during that time, the body needs more rest, probably even a few more calories, because fever burns down. Fever definitely impacts upon the fuel intake of the body. So let's make sure that you're well informed. What we just chatted about there is in your Guardian Health Plus, so you can get more information right there on how to strengthen your immune system.
Definitely, folks, check it out, check it out. Of course, you've been listening to the Lunchtime Doctor Special Health Program featuring Dr. Safia Muhammad. Of course, you broadcast live on Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and of course Vibe City 105 FM, and right here at Freedom 106.5. Join us again tomorrow, which will be International Women's Day, of course, for another special edition of your Lunchtime Doctor. Thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you to all our callers.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.